All right, hey, what's up, guys? We have Johnny Nava here. We're going to talk about philosophy, music, and photography. So, what's going on, Johnny? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Micah. Thanks for having me back, man. It's good. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I would ask you to explain yourself, but I've already had you on. I think that was like 6 months to a year ago, probably now.
Maybe a little bit less than that, but yeah, I'm happy to introduce myself again if people weren't able to check out the first one, but.
Go ahead. Just for anybody who hasn't heard it, maybe.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So my name is Johnny Nava. The reason that me and Mikey got connected is because I also have a podcast called Don't Panic. We're All Going to Die. And we just talk about philosophy. It's basically a philosophy podcast in disguise, but we like to present solutions to topics like anxiety, depression, and existentialism. So happy to be here.
Yeah, I was just telling Johnny right before that I've listened, since I had him on the podcast, I've listened to his podcast and it's a really good one. So go ahead and check it out if you guys get the chance. But one other thing I was just thinking is like when you we were talking about this before, but like when you have the video as opposed to the audio too, it makes me a little bit more nervous for whatever reason, you know, like actually looking into the other person's eyes as opposed to just kind of like having the phone down and just talking. But so you have to get used to that a little bit. But yeah, so as far as I saw that you put on there that you're amateur philosopher, right? And we talked about stoicism last time. So yeah. I recently have gotten some people on to talk about consciousness and all that kind of stuff just like blew me away. So I don't know if you know a whole lot about consciousness or what kind of philosophy are you interested in that you talk about?
Yeah, so consciousness is interesting to me. Every time I really dive into consciousness, though, I feel like it goes a little bit over my head. I think I forgot the name of the philosopher, but he calls it like the hard problem. And that's like, if you typed in Google, you'd see that consciousness is essentially the hard problem because like it's something that we haven't really been able to figure out an explanation for, like, why are we conscious? So it's definitely interesting to me. I think that falls under the umbrella of metaphysics, but I mean, we're talking about philosophy. There's like all these different categories that you can like really specialize in or pay attention to. But I think where I spend a lot of my time is within ethics. I find that to be the most interesting philosophical section. So I think stoicism would fall under that. But just this question of like, what do we owe each other is a really interesting question. And I like reading about it and seeing what other people's answers to that question is.
Yeah. That interests me too. And I'm interested also in like evolutionary psychology and evolutionary biology. And just recent, because I think we talked about this before, but I grew up Christian. Mm-hmm. And then only probably the past 5, 10 years, I've gotten more into like evolutionary theory and all that. And like, so before when you'd ask a question, it would just be kind of like, why does this happen? It's like, oh, because God made you that way. But now it's like, oh no, like, there's an evolutionary reason to it. And one of the things I looked up recently was like, why are women's voices higher pitch and men's like lower and louder? Mm-hmm. And they said, I don't know if you know the reason for that, but basically it's women back, you know, thousands of years ago or whatever, like they would have to have high pitched voices to scream because they're smaller, and then men would come like protect them or whatever. And then men, when they were like competing versus each other for women, the louder, more kind of deeper voice growl would essentially, I know this sounds really weird, but would essentially kind of scare the other one off so they would like mate more. So how much do you know a good amount about like evolutionary psychology? More like evolutionary, like if we got our morals from evolution, or do you feel like we got our moral, that's where I was going with this. If we got our morals more from like the Bible or evolution, which one do you think is the case?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned men having a lower voice or a louder voice being, you know, the dominant males. I'm glad I was born in the time I have now because my voice is not loud. And I would have not been able to reproduce.
Now you'd be like a good like singer for like Led Zeppelin or something, or Portugal the Man. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Thank God. but I don't know. You need to be honest. I think that, I think for a long time, like, I think the way I look at it is that like we're kind of having a difficult time adjusting right now as a society, because going back to like the point in history that you made, I think that, you know, we could rely on our instincts for a sense of purpose even. But, you know, in a hunter-gatherer society, ethics are really dictated by survival. It's like, I don't think that ethics were really something that was very much discussed, because it's all about survival. And I think that the really the closest thing that you probably could have gotten to would be, you know, what's good for the tribe and what's not good for the tribe. And then after that, we relied a lot on tradition. And so you mentioned that you were religious until recently, but, you know, when you talk about the answer for all of our problems being God did it, I mean, I think that that has been a, something that has been a connecting thing through all different societies and civilizations. That's really been the purpose of religion in a large way, is giving us a sense of ethics to abide by. And so, you know, now a lot of, not a lot of people are religious, or there's a growing amount of people that are non-religious. We're kind of having to figure that out for ourselves. But going back to philosophy, Friedrich Nietzsche, who's like a very famous German philosopher, he had this famous thing that he said, which was that God is dead. And what he meant by that was that if God is dead, then we really don't have anyone to give us any sense of ethics. And so he believed in a more like kind of like, I'm not super well versed in him, but he believed in more of like a doomsday type scenario where, you know, without a God, we don't have ethics, and, you know, things are, there's a threatening collapse there. But I found that, I think with like one of the things that makes me have optimism, a sense of optimism or hope for the future, is that it seems to me that even if we don't have a church or anything or any traditions to keep us ethical, I think that we have an innate sense of right and wrong as humans. And I think that we'll be all right either way, but I think it's still an important thing to learn about, because there's shitty things going on in the world all the time and people behaving unethically. And so taking that time to understand what it means to be ethical, I think, is really important.
Yeah. So overall, you do think that it is the Bible over evolution, the why we have ethics?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's, I think what, not necessarily the Bible, but I mean, I think that, I think like 60% of people on earth, I think it's like 59 or 60% are Christians. So, I mean, a large part, the answer is yes. Like, it is the Bible. But then also, you know, you have the Quran, and I know Buddhism has its own system of ethics, but I think it's more broadly a sense of tradition passed on from generations. A lot of it's based in religion, but the purpose of religion for a lot of people is to provide some sense of ethics. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily a Bible. I would say that it's, you know, this tradition of having, you know, gods or God, as a sort of omnipotent power that's looking over us, that's encouraged us to do right by each other. But I think part of living in a civilization is that you need to have a code of ethics for it to even work, for us to live next to each other. You know, we can't just be murdering anyone that makes us pissed off. So I think it's a combination of a lot of different things.
Yeah. The only, you know, debate for that would be like, why would an atheist, you know, be, have ethics or whatever, but that could just be like the traditions handed down to him. I mean, the way that I look at it now, and I still consider myself a Christian, but I don't think everything is like Bible based. But in terms of the evolution, from what I know now, I would probably just say like, okay, like we're kind of smarter than animals at this point. And it's like, if I help you out and you help me out, then we'll both be okay. As opposed to like me trying to kill you and you trying to kill me, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's kind of like how we've progressed as like an animal or whatever. Like now we live in societies where it's like you said, we have to live with each other. And so let's just do the best we can with each other. And we've made laws too, but who knows really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just getting interested in all that kind of stuff. On your podcast, you had Portugal the Man, John Gurley, and you were telling me then, I think we actually ended on this, and I was like, oh, what other music are you interested in? And you had to go. But so what are some other bands that you like, or what do you even like to have on your podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, Portugal the Man is now one of my forever favorite bands. And can I just say, like, John Gurley, is like the coolest dude I've ever met. And like, he would be that way if he wasn't the singer of Portrait of a Man. Like, he's just like so humble and so sure of himself. And like, he's just like a really sincere guy. And definitely like, I've spoken to a lot. I've had the privilege of speaking to a lot of really smart people on the podcast, but I took away so much from that conversation, just in terms of like, just in terms of his approach to being ethical. I mean, he like a big part of what he wants to do with the band is just, he has a PTM foundation and he's trying to help Native American communities in Alaska. So I think that's all really cool, but I like all types of music. Like, I like indie music specifically. I play guitar and I have like a band that does like coffee shop shows in Los Angeles. But I mean, I like everything. But the reason I have a lot of musical people on the show is because I think the show is about anxiety, depression, and existentialism. And I think that, you know, the overarching solution to a lot of those problems is to find a purpose in life. And with musicians and people who really invest their time in art, they're people who have gone into doing music being like, I know that I'm probably not going to make any money doing this in life, but I'm going to do it anyways because I get so much out of it. And I don't even care if I'm poor for the rest of my life. That's essentially the deal that you have to broker with yourself if you go to be a musician. And that the people that I have, I mean, it's really cool because, you know, they've figured out a way to make it work for them and they've made a living off of it. But they generally have a really good sense of themselves and what drives them and what makes them feel complete. And I think those types of people are really interesting to hear from. So John Gorley is definitely one of them. I had Dan Checkers from Dan and Drum, who's like another musician, but yeah, man, that guy. But if I had to pick one band, Portugal and Man, because that guy's just like the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah, he's like, he came off like super mellow and like just super down to earth. Like, he was like, nothing like, you know, I do is special. Like, this band isn't about me. It's about, you know, everyone or whatever. And I find that musicians nowadays are more like that than they used to be. Like, back in the, you know, Led Zeppelin, Motley Crue, like, days, they just seem to be like real, like, kind of like alpha male types. Now musicians tend to be like way more just kind of like mellow. Like, they don't do a lot of drugs, that type of stuff. You know, like, I don't know if you listen to like Vampire Weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I've seen him before.
Yeah. I listened to his podcast or his Apple Radio show. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called Time Crisis, the singers, Ezra Koenig. And he's just like a super mellow, nice guy. And most of the guys that I hear interviewed are just like really mellow, nice, humble dudes like John Gorley. John Gorley's probably maybe the most out of all of them. But yeah, so you saw Vampire Weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I saw them at Outside Lands, which is a really, really cool venue. I was like amazed by how good everyone is at their instruments in that band. I mean, they're all so good and they're all so good at performing that, like, I wasn't even like a huge Vampire Weekend fan going into it, but, you know, leaving the show, I was like, I'm forever a Vampire Weekend fan. But yeah, I mean, dude, the crazy thing about John is like, he's like, he's more humble than I am, and he's a rock star, which is like the craziest thing. But, you know, you talked about people being humble, more humble now than they used to be. I think it's because, like, you know, I'm not sure how old you are, but when I was growing up, like, we didn't have like streaming, and I'm not even that old, but we didn't have like any streaming. And it was like, if you wanted new music, like, iPod came out when I was like pretty young, but for the most part, like, you go to like a music store and you buy CDs. And so like, music was dominated by like this top like 0.0001% of bands who could sell millions of copies. And I think that, like, being in a band like that, number one, you're like selling out stadiums, so you have all the temptations in the world. But also, I think that, like, that drove a lot of people to want to be in these bands because they're like, I want to be I want to be a rock star. And that was like a huge, and that's a pretty big incentive for a lot of people. But now it's like Still Woozy, who's like a guy I listen to, like, he makes, for like the longest time, he just made music in his room. And the cool thing is that you can make like professional sounding mixing, like, you can mix professional sounding music in the comfort of your room now, just because technology is advanced. We have so many avenues for people to access your music. And so, like, I think that you just have a lot more normal people who have the opportunity to find listeners now than they used to have, which is like really cool because, you know, there's a lot of awesome musicians and a lot of awesome artists out there that deserve your attention. So it's cool that we could finally give it to them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in general, like speaking of, I guess, ethics and philosophy and pop culture, I feel like people in general, I think what you're saying is definitely true, but I also feel like people in general, I could be just way off by this, and I think a lot of people would think that I am, but especially younger people seem to be getting more ethically based. Like if you look at like the Gen Z, and I know a lot of people would just totally disagree with this, but like they're becoming like really liberal to the point where it's like in a good way. Like I think they're just becoming like really empathetic. You know what I mean? Whereas like,
yeah,
like when I was younger, people would make fun of, it was like towards the end, I think I was towards the end of this, but like people would make fun of people for being gay and all that kind of stuff. Totally. And now the kids just aren't doing that stuff. Like that is definitely looked down upon, and it should be anything like that, like any type of bullying, not saying that there are still bad kids or anything like that. But, and not only that, but I don't know. I just in general feel safer than I used to. I feel like people are nicer. I don't know. Like in the past 20 or 30 years, I could be totally wrong about that, and people probably disagree with me, but what do you think, I guess? Like, do you think that in general, as a society, we're getting better and better or worse in terms of empathy and stuff like that?
Yeah, I agree with you largely. I mean, I flip-flop on that all the time, but you know, I think one thing that I think is cool is I think that like we all talk shit about boomers, right? Like they're the butt of every joke when we're talking about like this, the current state of the world. But I think that like I think millennials and Gen Z are probably like, I feel like we're like the older brother generation in large part. Like I think that our generations really get along, but you're right that I think that like Gen Z, they do give me a lot of hope. Like they're definitely very empathetic as a generation. They just seem to care a lot about the state of the world. And, you know, they're definitely the most like politically active generation I've seen in a long time. And also like, yeah, to your point, like they don't think that bullying is cool. Like, that's like such a huge win for anybody going through high school right now. Like bullying is no longer cool. And it used to be that like whoever could make the best jokes on the person who couldn't really defend themselves, like that was the cool kid. And now that's not the case. I think it's not the reason why 22 Jump Street is like such a funny movie. It's like they kind of make a joke about that. But I love to see it. My brother, I have a brother who's like almost 7 years younger than me, so he's very much like a Gen Zer. And like when I hang around his friends, I'm like, damn, you guys are like way cooler than I was when I was your age. And I just love to see it. It's not even something that makes me jealous. I'm like, damn, I'm happy that that's like the state of the world now, and that's where things seem to be going. I mean, there's a lot of issues regarding, you know, a gun violence that don't make me too excited about things. Yeah, from California, we had like a bunch of shootings this week, but largely when it comes to like normal people in society, I think that there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, like you said, there's a lot of, I'm sure there's a ton of pushback on what I said, like more shootings and a lot of the people look at all like the Twitter type stuff going on, and they think it's, you know, our society is getting worse and worse, but I don't know, just from what I see in my personal life, I feel like that's true. But yeah, you mentioned Outside Lands, and I think once again, you were either going there, or I think you just had been there the last time I talked with you. So what were some of the bands that you saw there that were good?
Yeah. I mean, I go every year. That's like that. I don't go to like a ton of festivals or anything, but my family is I'm from San Francisco. So my parents still live there. And so I have a free place to stay. So I always make it out there. I think last year, I saw Green Day. I don't even like Green Day, but they were amazing. They were like such a good performers. You could tell like they've been in business for like 40 years. And like I saw them and I was like, oh, that makes sense. And then I saw Dominic
Fike. I was in junior high when Dookie came out. So yeah, if that dates me, but yeah, I definitely.
Yeah, I think I was in junior high when the album with the grenade, Grenade Heart. I don't know.
Was that
Green Day? But
was that the next one? I think that was the next one.
I think that was the next one.
Or maybe two after. Yeah.
But yeah, so I saw them, and then over the years, like I saw Lizzo, she was awesome. I saw Vampire Weekend there, the best performance I've ever seen in my life. I get a decent amount of concerts, but best performance I've ever seen was Childish Gambino at Outsiders. Like I just felt like wow. I was in a movie watching him. It was when he just released This Is America, and hearing him play that song was like, I walked out of that concert a different person. It's a cool venue. If anybody listening is ever curious about going, it's like during a great time of year. It's not too cold, not too hot, and they usually bring a lot of fun bands, so it's a great time.
Yeah, where is it in San Francisco?
It's in Golden Gate Park.
So like you can see like the bridge from where the concert's at.
I wish. No, you can't see the bridge. But it's like if you've never been to Golden Gate Park, it's like this huge park right by, it's pretty close to the ocean. And it's just very green, has a ton of trees. And then, you know, it has like three different stages that you can walk to. And if you like smoking weed, I don't really smoke weed much these days, but they have like a grassland section, which is really cool. And then it's just a beautiful place to be. So highly recommend.
I went up to, so me and my girlfriend went with her family up to like, we went in like 2 or 3 days. I think it was 2 nights, went to Yosemite and then all the way up to like San Francisco. And then we drove all the way from San Francisco down. And man, that is just a beautiful area up there, San Francisco, that whole area.
Yeah. The Pacific Coast Highway is just insane, isn't it?
Yeah. That whole like 5-hour drive down. Like we drove, I wanted to stop for pictures and stuff. And like, by the time we got to, like Big Sur, it started getting like foggy, and it was like night, and it started getting foggy. We didn't even get to like Santa Barbara till like midnight, and then I'm 3 hours from Santa Barbara, so we didn't get home. But like I had been driving for like 10 hours straight all the way down, and it was a beautiful drive, but I wish I had more time. But yeah, Childish Gambino. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Which unfortunately I was stupid and didn't fly my drone. So like when we first started going down into Big Sur, it was like foggy, but it was like good foggy where it wasn't like completely overcast. And I was like, I'll just wait a little bit longer to get further down to fly my drone. And then by the time we got to where I wanted to go, it was like just overcast foggy, but I did fly over that, that waterfall, like McWay Falls or whatever, you know, I don't know if you know too much about Big Sur, but yeah. And Childish Gambino, he's somebody like I haven't really gotten that into his music. I like him. I like Donald Glover. I like Atlanta, the show.
Yeah.
But like, I've never really gotten into his. Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great.
It's kind of trippy, right?
Yeah. It's very surreal.
Yeah.
I watched my favorite episode was the documentary that he did on the Goofy movie. Oh, yeah.
That threw me for a loop. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah. That was, I grew up watching, like, my parents had like Honda Odyssey, I think it was, or something like that, and it had like a TV that was like this big, and it like hung down, and like it could play VHS tapes, and we had like 3 VHS tapes, and like it was like we had a Pokemon one that was like 3 episodes long, and it was like not our favorite thing to watch, and then we had like the Goofy movie, and we would just watch that all the time. So like to see like a documentary about it from Donald Glover that was actually like really had a lot of really interesting commentary about race in it, was like just super, super fun to watch.
Yeah, like a fake documentary. I was like, what? What is going on? Is this real at first? And then, I don't know, did you ever watch Mr. Robot by any chance?
I did, yeah. My middle brother, it's like his favorite show of all time. So
yeah,
I ended up watching the whole thing with him.
Yeah, I like really liked the show. It got a little too weird for me at the end, and I like weird. It got a little too like bizarre, but there was one episode, I don't know if you remember, where like it started off with like Alf. Like they literally did like a whole, like they kind of like redoing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so like about halfway through, I was like, okay, this is funny, but like when's it gonna like get real? You know what I mean? I think the whole episode was like, based on Alf or something, and then he like wakes up at the end like in a hospital room or whatever. But yeah, Childish Gambino, like, I don't know. I'm just not too into his music, but I'm not like super into rap. I am into some rap, but I'm not super into Tyler, the Creator either. But like I saw like right after like COVID, he came out, or he was doing some show. It was Lollapalooza, like Fred, like Limp Bizkit did it, and like Tyler, the Creator. And he came out and like put on like a really good show. So maybe it's more of like a, like same thing with Childish Gambino. Maybe it's more of like a live thing. Like you just have to see it live. But like, I've just never really gotten into like Childish Gambino's music that much, except for that song. I do like that song. This Is America's song, or not. Yeah. This Is America. What's it called? Or This Is America, right?
Yeah. You got it right.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it is sometimes. Like, I think some people, like they're really good in a studio, and then once they get in front of people, it's like not the same thing, or like they don't really enjoy it. They enjoy making music, but they don't really enjoy performing. And then there's some people that are like, they're performers, and like the music, like they're good, they're, you know, they make music, they make good songs, but you put them on stage and they're like, you just watch them go. Like that's where they feel comfortable. And then sometimes they're both. And I think that Donald Glover is both. Like, okay. I think he's great at both. Then like, there's some people like, I love the Strokes. I saw them out of Sundance and I was like, I like you guys a little bit less now having seen you live because I felt like they weren't.
Yeah, no, I,
you know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah. Like about when, how long ago was that? Like 20, I guess it might've been 20. No, it was like 18 years ago or something. I saw them live and like I wasn't even a huge Strokes fan at the time. Now I, funny enough, I actually am. Mm-hmm. And my friend just gave me like a free ticket to go to Honda Center to see him. And I sat way in the back, but I just remember them being boring. Like, and I've heard they're good live from people, but like, I just thought they were kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. They've great songs. But yeah. You know, sometimes it doesn't translate to a stage in the same way that you want it to. But that's okay, because you still listen to it in the car and have a great time.
Yeah. Another guy that I was hoping, like, so my big thing is when I go see somebody live, I want them to like talk a lot. I actually want them to talk, not just want them to play music. Mm-hmm. And that's like why Blink-182 is one of my favorite bands, or was one of my favorite bands live. But I saw Father John Misty. I don't know if you're a fan of his or not.
Yeah.
And he just didn't talk enough. It was like, I don't like it when they just go song. And that's how the Strokes were. Like when they just go like song to song to song, you know?
Yeah.
I prefer them to make jokes and stuff.
Do you know who's the best at that? Who is like the most charismatic performer in terms of talking to his audience? Is Jack Johnson. Have you ever seen him?
No, but what's funny is I was going to say your like style of music reminds me of Jack Johnson. I've only heard like a little bit of it, but you're singing pattern or whatever.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. He's my biggest inspiration. I love Jack Johnson. Like he's probably my favorite artist, but like, you know, if he wasn't charismatic, I would be honest with you, but like, dude, this guy is like the most charismatic guy I've ever seen take stage. Like he's just so like, he, like you hear his music, it's like very like, you know, very like, you know, vibey, like feel good, you know, inspirational in a way that's like, hey, we're all going to be all right. Like that translates to his stage persona, but it's like, also like, it doesn't seem like it's a persona. Like he's just like going out and being himself, but dude, he's like so charismatic and funny. I was like, I took my mom to see him for her birthday and she was like, he's so cool. I was like, yeah, he is. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah. He's just super mellow. Nice.
Yeah.
He's like isn't he like a pro surfer too, or a surfer at least?
Yeah, that's how he started. He like was a pro surfer, and then he like made music for his surf videos, and people were like, "You made this? Like, this is awesome! You should like make more music." And then he did, and now he's Jack Johnson.
Yeah, and now he's like one of the biggest singers in the world, which is kind of crazy when you think about that.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
My friend said he saw him live recently and said it was a really good show. I've never seen him, but yeah, I think, I don't know if it, what song of yours it was. It may have just been like the intro to your podcast, but I also saw you cover that dude from Euphoria song on TikTok or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember liking that song.
Yeah. So
for some reason I can't hear the audio.
Oh, you can't hear my audio?
I don't know what's on your end or mine.
Let's see. Can you not hear me? I can hear you fine.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I can hear you now. It may have just been on my end. I don't know if something disconnected or not, but what were you saying now?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I don't do like a ton of like stuff on YouTube. When I initially started my YouTube channel, I was like, I kind of was like, I'm going to, I really like playing guitar because I felt like it's helped me with my anxiety. And I was like, I can show other people that music is a way they can help them with their anxiety too. And then I kind of just morphed into wanting to help people with anxiety in general. But yeah, I posted like a couple like guitar covers, like music covers, just because I thought it would be like a fun thing to do, like do stuff that's like traditionally not acoustic, but then make it acoustic. But the for my podcast, the person who actually wrote the theme song is, he goes by Dan and Drum on Spotify. He's really, really cool guy. He's like kind of folky music. He's like a really, really elastic singing voice, but it's just him. Like he makes all the music himself. He's really cool. But, and I liked his music for a long time. I had him as a guest and was like, hey dude, will you write a song for my podcast? And he was so cool. He did it. So, I have to give him a little bit of a shout out there.
Yeah. It is kind of like a beachy vibe, right?
Kind
of like a Jack Johnson vibe.
Yeah, I gave him the title of my podcast. I was like, I want it to be like, you know, mellow and like feel good. And I don't, because like the title is Don't Panic, We're All Gonna Die. It's kind of like it can be kind of an abrasive title. I'm like, that's not really what I'm going for. I want it to be like light and just be like, it's almost like a joke. He's like, I got
you. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we still don't. I still haven't put like a song or anything up. I just pretty much put it out. Like I kind of want it to be raw and like live. Kind of like my ideal is kind of like to be like a Joe Rogan type like format. Not so much, you know, like Joe Rogan, but like I tell people that I'm like, they're like, what do you like? And I'm like, it's kind of like Joe Rogan in format in terms of like we talk with different guests every time, and every time it's different. But yeah, so getting to like more of the cultural type stuff, a lot of the people that I like to talk about for whatever reason are like Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, you know, those types of guys.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't really like most of those guys. I'm more of like a liberal type politics guy. I don't know if you've heard of like H3.
Yeah.
With Ethan Klein.
Yeah.
I've more recently got into him, and you probably haven't heard of Yeah But Still, but have you heard of Yeah But Still by any chance?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
No, they're kind of a smaller one, but they were my favorite for a while. And it's more liberal leaning, I guess. But what are your thoughts on the, like, we kind of went over how things are kind of getting better, but what are your thoughts on a lot of the, I guess, the Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson type, Ben Shapiro type stuff going on?
Yeah.
I guess so, the Republican versus liberal like clash.
Yeah. Well, so did I tell you the story last time? I met Jordan Peterson. Did I tell you that last time I was on here?
No.
Yeah. No. So kind of funny story. Like I used to work in this law firm, and it was like a very old school running law firm. And so like it was an entertainment law firm. So they have like all these like big actors, directors, you know, people like really big time in Hollywood. And this guy comes in and he's kind of a unique voice. And he like comes up to me and he's like, what are you reading? Cause I could read all the time. Cause it was like really old school. They didn't use a lot of technology. So I just had to answer phones. And I was reading Meditations. And he's like, oh, if you like Meditations, you got to check out Man's Search for Meaning. And I was like, all right, I will. Oh, man. And then he like went off. We talked about Meditations for a while. We talked about Stoicism, and then he went off. And then like 2 weeks later, he had that like interview on like, I think it was the BBC, where it was like the thing that made him famous. Like he like stumped this interviewer really hard. It was Jordan Peterson. He like stumped the interviewer really hard. And then he like blew up. It was like after he put out 12 Rules for Life. That's why he was there. He's consulting about 12 Rules for Life. And so he blew up. But yeah, I don't agree with a lot of what he has to say, but you know, he gave me a great book recommendation. But to answer your question, like, yeah, no, that was a big aside, but you know,
no, that was a good story. Any type of meeting of somebody like that is a good story. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he just randomly came up to you and kind of like patted you on the back and was like, what are you reading there?
Because he worked, so a law firm he was represented by the law firm I was working for. So he just he likes the Stoics, and he likes Jung, he likes Nietzsche, he likes all those guys. And so like, because I was reading somebody he had a lot of familiarity with, he was like interested. So like we started talking about, I could tell you it was like a really smart guy based on our conversation. I was like, this guy's pretty bright. Because usually, like, you know, we have like a lot of actors coming in, and so you know, nothing against actors, but usually they're not going to know about like Nietzsche or like all the Stoics. You know, there's not, it's not their cup of tea most of the time. But like, he was just had, he had so much knowledge about all these things, and I was like, dude, this guy's really smart. Like, who is this guy? And then I realized he was Jordan Peterson later. I was like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. Was that the interview with, was it like a woman? Like a, was it like a British woman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And like, he just kind of like, everyone's like, oh, he killed her or whatever. But it's like, he really just was like, kind of like mean to her. And everyone always says like, he just kills it in like, in his debates or whatever. But it's like, I don't know. Like, so my history with Jordan Peterson is I first saw him on YouTube doing like psychological, because, you know, he's a psychologist or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw him like teaching psychology at his college, and he was talking about stuff like Hitler and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And then about a year later, 2 years later, he like blew up. But then he became this like kind of like toxic masculinity guy. And it's like, I can see why people like him, because he is, like you said, he is a smart guy. He is a good debater, and he definitely is interesting to listen to. But then I saw some of the stuff that he was saying like on Twitter, and it's just kind of mean. Like, you know what I mean? It's like he's just picking on people, and it's like, what good is any of this? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you're an old man. Like, why do you feel like it's good to pick on some girl who's overweight, or like that one actress who became trans or whatever. I'm forgetting her name. Exactly. Yeah, he went after her. But yeah, in general, I do like listening to those guys, like him, Ben Shapiro, Joe Rogan. Even though Joe Rogan is kind of more moderate, but like he kind of seemed to like, during COVID, he kind of seemed to have a lot of like kind of like conspiracy theory type people on.
Yeah, he had some advocates for that during COVID for sure.
Yeah, and the problem that I have with that the most is that it's like, I'm fine with him having Jordan Peterson and whoever on, but like, he doesn't really seem to like push back very much on them. Sometimes he will.
Yeah.
But yeah. What are your thoughts on like Rogan and stuff?
Yeah. Well, I think I probably have more thoughts on Jordan Peterson than Rogan. I mean, Rogan, like to your point, he's a moderate, I think. And I think he had a lot of bad takes during COVID. And I think that like, well, first of all, let me just say, I think that Twitter is a mirage. Like, I don't think that Twitter is really representative of people in general. Like, I think it's representative of a very large minority of people. And I think that if you give it too much credibility, like, I think a lot of places cater to Twitter because it makes a lot of noise, but I don't think it's really representative of how the general population feels about things. And I think that like a Twitter-esque crowd really doesn't like Rogan because this guy's like Alex Jones on his podcast. And it's like, the question is like, should we continue platforming guys like Alex Jones? And it's a legitimate question. And, you know, he does have conspiracy theorist guys like that on his podcast all the time. And so it's like, he has the biggest platform in the world, and it's like, he gets to choose who he gives that platform to. And if he's not giving it to the right people, I think people are more, it's more than fair to have their opinions about that. But I think, you know, if you listen to what he says, yeah, I don't disagree with a ton of it, but I also don't listen to him that much. I think that most of the time he's just trying to ask insightful questions to get a good episode, and I'm not going to fault him for that. But when it comes to Jordan Peterson, he's more of an interesting figure because I think that like, if we were to sparse down our worldviews, like point by point, like I think that I think most people would agree with a lot of the things he has to say, but the way that he packages it, it's very polarizing. And to your point, like when he's making tweets about Elliot Page, he's arming these people to go against what he says. And I think that like the reason why he has such a following is because, you know, he spends a lot of time talking about hierarchies. And I think there is, and so he talks about hierarchies. He's definitely leans right. And he's all about males, really, as far as I can tell. And so
that's what it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I have, you know, my own issues with that, but I think that what he really speaks to is like, I think he holds the flag or the banner for people who he might consider, you know, the lower end of a hierarchy. And those are the same people that are susceptible to guys like Andrew Tate, or, you know, or Joe Rogan on the lighter side of things. And I think that kind of audience is really easy to mobilize. And I don't think he always does it in the right way, but philosophically where he loses me is that he talks about, he's a conservative, right? He doesn't like the idea of change largely, especially because oftentimes he feels like the change that progressives try to push, they don't really have solutions to it. It's more anarchy. They're tearing things down without having a solution to replace it. And I understand that, but where he loses me is when he talks about like the replacement being, or that we should consistently keep things the way they are. He talks about hierarchies a lot, but then he also talks about like myths and I don't know. Like, I think that if you're saying that the progressives' argument is anarchist or socialist, and it's not progressive in the ways it should be, but then you're saying that like we should keep things the way they are because that's the way they've been for all this time, and that we should always be going by dominance hierarchies. I don't know. That feels a little antiquated too. And I think that completely
antiquated.
Yeah.
I mean,
he uses the Bible all the time, and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament are completely different things when you really look at them. So I don't think that that's like always the best source to base, you know, how we should govern entire civilizations on either. So I don't know. I have a lot of mixed feelings about Jordan.
Yeah, that's a big question first of all, yeah, like that old school way of thought that he has, which is basically we should just keep the things the way they are, is just, to me, it's just completely outdated. And it's like, if he is pushing for like men over women, which he never like comes out and will say directly, but it's like, that's essentially what he's saying kind of, right? Is that like, we should just keep it like men, like have a men driven nation. But that's the big question though, right? Is like, I'm all for change and I'm all for making things better, mainly in the workplace. Like I'm a delivery driver for Amazon. First of all, it's a really hard job. I just lost my job like 3 weeks ago. Oh, I've been looking for another job. I got one at Amazon.
Congrats.
But it's like, it puts you in a situation just by losing your job. I got laid off, didn't get fired or anything. We're like, I have no health insurance, you know, I have like very little time to go back to work to make money. It just doesn't seem like a great situation to be in for anybody. I don't know how anybody's doing it the way that they are. It seems like when I look around, I'm like, how are people living in this type of society? So I think that change is good. But the big question is, in terms of that type of thing, the big question is like you said, is there a solution to the change? And I think it would be going more towards like socialism or something, right? Which people like him just don't want. So like, do you think that there is a good solution to the problem?
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing is I'm all about solutions. Like if I were to boil down my philosophy to like one thing, it would be like, there should be changes, but we should also have solutions to those changes. Because I think a lot of times people are like very content with being like, this is fucked up. And then there's nothing else that comes after that. Or like, we should tear this thing down. And it's like, okay, then what? You know, and so like,
yeah,
I think it's really important to think about what comes next and what could potentially be solutions. But to the point that you just raised, I think that's like one of my biggest political instincts is to think that that's bullshit, which is that like, I just don't think that like healthcare should be so closely tied to employment. It's like, I have healthcare, I have great healthcare, but it's only because I'm employed. And if I wasn't employed and I got sick, I would be fucked. Can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be like in ruins, you know? And I think that that's like a really, I just don't think that's ethical, to go back to the beginning of the conversation, to tie medical, to say like, okay, you're okay if you get sick as long as you're employed. I think that like people should be able to get laid off or get fired and have a job and still, you know, be able to take care of themselves. Just because they're sick, like that just makes complete sense to me. And it's also like, it's something that is completely realistic economically too. It's just tough because democracy is really slow and it will always be slow because, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy within democracy. And so, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that, you know, I think that I think the left could benefit from being more proactive about. I mean, we did have, Obamacare that was, meant to address this, but, it's just really hard to come up with a uniform healthcare system for a nation as big as the United States. Could be like 50 different countries in one.
Yeah. And I think a lot of like Republicans like looked at Obamacare and they were like, oh, it didn't work. So, it's a bad idea or whatever. And honestly, I don't really know if I'd say it worked or not. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think it helped out too much. I think the ideal goal would just be to get socialized healthcare. And I've talked with people on this podcast from like Canada, even Saudi Arabia. And I was like, what do you, that was the consciousness guy. And I was like, when you look at America, like, what do you think about us? And he was like, it's just sad how it seems like, people want to make like slaves of their citizens, essentially. Like, there's so many people out there who just have just like dog shit jobs and they can't get out of it. And nobody really seems to care. And then meanwhile, we're outsourcing like fucking like smartphones. I don't know if you saw the Rogan episode on this where
the cobalt mining
guy came on. Exactly. Yeah. He went to the Congo and dude, I'm at blame for that. You're at blame. We're all fucking at blame for that. That we're like basically making slaves, literal slaves, child slaves in the Congo to get our cobalt so we can have an iPhone. And it's like, it has to stop. And I feel I could be wrong, but I feel like we're going more towards a society that cares more about each other. And I think that's the goal. And then also, I think another way of regulating or helping the system, like we don't have to fucking work so hard. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like we're in a place as Americans where it's like, things are going good. Like we're doing well. Like Amazon doesn't have to push their workers so hard, whatever job it is that you're at doesn't need to force you to do. In my opinion, they don't. So maybe we can put some regulations on the situation, the work situation.
I mean, I think that one thing that's one of the benefits of social media is that it showed us an alternative lifestyle. That like, because the thing is, like, America, we really fumbled. Like after World War II, the United States had 50% of the world's wealth, and that's why like the boomers were able to afford houses for like 20 grand. It's because like we just had so much money, and then you know what happened to it? we didn't properly invest in. I mean the work life balance thing. I think a lot more people are privy to. I think a lot more people are taking advantage of it, or seeking a lifestyle that offers more work life balance. I think that one positive aspect of COVID is that it's given this a breath of life to remote work. I mean, dude, one time, this is crazy. I was at work in the office one day. It was a Friday afternoon and they were like, hey, we're going to let you go home early today. And we're going to let you work from home from Monday and Tuesday because of this COVID thing. But we're going to be back in the office on Wednesday. And that was like what, 4 years ago. And I never came back, or 3 years ago. And I never went back. I never went back to an office after that. So like, I think that like we're getting a lot more aware of the alternatives, but I think there's also this one thing really important part of the conversation that nobody's really considering, or not nobody's considering, but I think that we should be paying more attention to, which is that like, going back to the beginning of our conversation, talking about meaning and ethics and tradition, it's like, we used to get all those things from different places. Like, we had, our relationships with our friends that gave us meaning, or we went to church for our meaning. So we got our meaning from church. And then, in terms of community, we would go into work. We would have coworkers, or you have your neighbors around and over barbecues. Like, my parents were part of clubs and stuff when they were growing up. And when I was growing up, like, they had all these different ways we can connect with the community that we were part of. And like, now almost none of my friends are religious. Almost none of them are part of any type of clubs or really engaged in the community in a significant way. And so I think that like for a lot of people, they look to their work to be like, all right, well, I would like a sense of meaning from you. Please give me a sense of meaning. Please give me a social life too, because now I'm an adult. It's the only place I can meet people. And then also, I want you to agree with all of my politics as well. And so like, I think that work is put in like a really weird position, and this isn't like a stance that's sympathetic to work at all, but it's just like, I just think that like a career has morphed into this thing that it really hasn't been in the past. And now it's like, we're just expecting our career to give us a lot of different types of satisfaction that I don't think we should necessarily be seeking from work. But I think that like our natural inclination is to seek it from there, because there's nowhere else that we can get it.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think that work is the greatest place to get, you know, like a friend group or whatever. Like, I've never really like had, I mean, I've had friends at work, but it's like after I leave the job, I'm like not really still friends with them anymore. It's just, except for a few people. But yeah, and I've also heard people say like, you know, what would we do if AI takes over and like everyone loses their jobs and we become like a jobless society or whatever? They're like, we need like meaning. And it's like, I, to a certain extent, get that point. And don't get me wrong, like when I'm not working, to a certain extent, I'm like, you know, I don't have enough money to like go out and travel or take pictures or do what I want to do. But it does give a certain amount of meaning. But there's so many jobs out there, dude, that I just don't, it's not a good place to get meaning. I don't, in my opinion, for a lot of people, maybe for some people, like if you're a really passionate, like doctor, or lawyer, or accountant, or whatever, don't get me wrong. But like, if you have just some job where it's like not what fulfills you, it sucks, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. So, and I'll just like, what are your, I don't know how much more time we have because it's not like showing the,
yeah, we can go a little bit over. That's all good.
Okay. So in terms of, well, first of all, I kind of wanted to boil down like the hierarchy thing, because I hear Jordan Peterson, a lot of the stuff that he says, I don't really fully understand like what he's saying. And it's like, it could just be because I'm not smart enough, or because he definitely has a way with words. But when he talks about the hierarchy thing, Is he basically mainly saying that he thinks that like men just should be in power and?
I don't think it's necessarily that. I think he operates from like a perspective of that, like that we operate as social beings in dominance hierarchies, and I think, and I haven't listened to him a lot recently, so there was a point in my life where I was like, oh, this guy makes a lot of sense. I started listening to more. I was like, I don't agree with that. I also don't agree with that. And I don't agree with that. You know, so like, but it was a long time.
Yeah, that's the type of guy he is. Yeah. He is very polarizing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think essentially he believes in dominance hierarchies, which is like, I think the really simple way to put it might be just like a very, like, he looks at humans in a scientist. Like, he's very biological. And he thinks that, like, you know, there are men at the top of the dominance hierarchy, which would be like, you know, maybe a man that is very desirable by women, maybe has a lot of disposable income, just has a lot of things that give him status in life. And then there are other men who are, you know, at the lower end of the dominance hierarchy, who, you know, have, you know, A, B, and C. I don't really want to hypothesize on, you know, what type of people that they might be, but, you know, and so his thing is like, well, how do you navigate if you're at the bottom of the dominance hierarchy? How do you maybe raise to a higher point in it? Or like, how is it? And really, I think that like a big part of why he has a following is he empathizes with people near the bottom half. And it's like these there's a lot of people who are suffering because they don't feel like they have a lot of options in their life. And I'm really empathetic to that, but I think that like
incels type, right?
Is that- Yeah. Incels. Yeah. The incels love Jordan Peterson for that reason. Cause he's like, he speaks to them. But then like, dude, there's things that like, yeah, we're in a world that's constantly changing. Like we have it used to be that like generational signifiers happen once in a generation. Now they're happening like once every 5 years, you know, like the world is changing so fast. And I think there's just like a lot of people who feel left out or who feel left behind by it. And I empathize with that too. But that's not really my place to really understand how to improve that. I just talk about anxiety and depression. You know, like that's my cup of tea. I could help you out. I could help you overcome those things. But, you know, when it comes to dominance hierarchies, I guess I'd leave it to Jordan, but I might recommend other people before I recommended him.
Yeah, well, I feel like the way that you're going about things is much better than the way he's going about things. Like if his goal is to like kind of reach out to the incels or whatever, I mean, I hate to even use that term, but it's like, I don't think he's, for one, him and Andrew Tate aren't doing a good job at it. They're doing a terrible job at it. Then two, what I was going to say earlier about it was like, I don't think any of it should fucking matter. Like, I don't think that it's like, whether you're at the top of the food chain, like whether you're like Joe Rogan or whatever, or you're at the bottom, like I know it to a certain extent, it does matter, but like, I don't think that we should look at people as like, okay, you're at the top of the food chain and you're at the bottom. Like we're all fucking equal, whether you have $0 in your bank account or you have millions. It's like, I don't give a shit, you know? And it's like, I feel like people in general, like there tends to be this hero worship of people like Elon Musk, and it's like, he can do no wrong. Certain people, and then other people hate him. And it's like, no, it shouldn't fucking matter. Like, you know what I mean? I know it does matter. And like someone like Jordan Peterson would probably just say it does matter, but like, it shouldn't matter. Right. It shouldn't matter what's in your bank account. And that's how I feel. And it's like, just the whole, I don't know. Like to me, it's always been like, just do what you want. And I understand like certain people like incels or whatever may be suffering, but it's like talking like Andrew Tate isn't going to help them. We're talking like Jordan Peterson. It's not going to help them. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, just be a better person. Like, which is, I think, essentially what they're trying to tell them to do, I guess. But it's like, so I don't know. There's something that like rubs me the wrong way of focusing on that. And it kind of comes off like a bullying type thing. And it's similar to Trump, you know, and it may just come off like bullies basically. And it's like, I don't know if you have more to say on it, but real quick, we'll really quickly go over like Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, that stuff, and then Sam Harris, and then we can wrap it up.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't really know too much about any of those guys, but what I will say is that like when it comes to like Jordan Peterson or Andrew Tate, like I don't necessarily I hesitate to say that like that they're explicitly going after these types of people, like what's called incels, because I know that might be, not be an unoffensive term, but you know, if you associate as an incel, I don't know what I can do for you. But let's just group them in that category. So let's say like you're an incel, and let me just preface this by this is not a representation of how I feel about the state of things at all. But if you're an incel, let's say that you are an incel at the bottom of Jordan Peterson's dominance hierarchy. So maybe you're like a 40-year-old virgin, not 40-year-old virgin, but you're somebody who's had a really hard time with women, and you're having a really hard time in your career, and maybe you're struggling with some depression, and you feel like you don't have a grip on your own life. And then when you look out to society and you feel that it's telling you, let's just take an example of something like white privilege. I'm Mexican, so I don't really have a dog in this fight, but you can see the way I look. I've definitely experienced white privilege. I know that it exists, but let's just say
as long as people think you're white, you're okay, right?
yeah. Well, let's just say that you're in this position, and then you're white, and you're having what you feel is the Twitterverse weighing down you, telling you that, you know, men are trash, and that you know, there's the entire world is a patriarchy, and also like it's you know, white privilege, or you know, it's a problem if you're white, or you feel like people are telling you it's a problem if you're white. You're like, bro, I'm not getting any women. I feel like I have no power. So this patriarchy thing doesn't make any sense to me at all. And like white privilege, like, what do you mean? I'm like drowning in debt. I'm like living paycheck to paycheck, maybe. like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Where is all this stuff coming from? And then like a guy like Jordan Peterson comes around, or a guy like Andrew Tate, and says, hey, I can offer you a better life if you just follow my advice. Like, that can be very tempting, because you don't really feel like you have a lot of avenues or other people that are even care about you. And so I think those guys are really good at radicalizing that type of people. I think with Andrew Tate, it's much, much more manipulative, because he's selling you this bullshit course, and he's like objectively a piece of shit. With Jordan Peterson, I think that he's like one of those guys that's, I think that ultimately, I think his heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
But I just don't agree with a lot of what he has to say. I don't know. It's just, I understand the situation that these people feel like they are in. I just don't think that Jordan Peterson or Andrew Tate or Joe Rogan or Sam Harris or any of these guys that you mentioned are the answer. I don't even think I'm the, I don't think I'm the answer either, but I think that, you know, I just think there are better people that you could look to for advice on how to prove your situation than any of these guys.
Well, I would probably say the answer is, and it's like, it kind of sounds bad, but it's like, I would probably say, I don't think there is any one easy answer, obviously, but one would be, in terms of women, lower your standards. Because a lot of these incel types tend to think they deserve like supermodels and they're not getting it. And it's like, dude, just go after, and I hate to say it, it sounds bad, but it's like, go after a woman who's in the same league as you. I'm sure there's women out there that are in the same league as you. You're not going to get a supermodel, you know. And then two, I think, in my opinion, I may have mentioned the nihilism thing with you before, but it's like, to a certain extent, I think the nihilism, not, it sounds bad, but it's not pure nihilism, but nihilism in the sense that like, it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, it shouldn't matter. I know your life might suck, but it's like, you know, you're not a worse person, because I feel like too much is overemphasized on how, like I said before, how much money you make, what girl you're dating or married to or whatever. And it's like, just do the best you can in your situation, and then also go to like go to a therapist, or listen to podcasts like yours that are trying to help. And so even John Gorley kind of had that. And when I say nihilism, once again, I don't mean like pure nihilism where it's like nothing matters at all, but like John Gorley had the mentality of like, whatever he's doing doesn't matter. It's all just some kind of, I think he even said like every, like not only his band, but like, isn't like just like, I've heard this theory that like, it's not even like, we're like, I think Brian Eno or something, I heard him talking about it, which was like, basically it's not just him who's making music. It's like, it's everybody. It's like, it's the culture. It's like, whatever is, it's the zeitgeist. It's like, whatever's just running through you, you know? And I feel like that kind of goes back to the consciousness thing, where it's like, and I honestly want to talk about philosophy more in the beginning. I jumped off it real quick because I wanted to make sure we covered everything. But what I've learned from these guys on the consciousness thing who have been on my podcast, and I'm talking to a guy tomorrow actually about consciousness, but it's basically, there's idealism and there's materialism. I don't know if you know those terms, but you do. So idealism, I'll just state them again, is that like, we are living in consciousness. We are all one. I am not even like a person, essentially. I'm not saying that I believe in this, like in terms of physics or metaphysics or whatever, but we are all just kind of like, you know what I mean? There is no self type thing. Like, you know what I mean? You know that, right? Yeah. So in a way, and there's also materialism, which, you know, this desk is really here type thing. But anyways, I think the way to look at things is like, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's not all about Elon Musk. It's not about Donald Trump. It's just, we're all in this together, is my point. Yeah. Right. I mean, would you agree with that? I don't think that I probably said it in the best way, but it's like, ultimately we're all in this together, and you know, I don't think that I matter more than you. I don't think that you matter more than me. Right.
No, I agree. And to borrow your a little bit of what you said about nihilism, like I'm a big advocate of optimistic nihilism, where it's just like, I believe that nothing matters except what you want to matter. And that's like the cool thing about being human, is that like, you get to choose what matters to you. And I think that like, if you follow your own internal compass, it'll lead you in the right direction. The problem with optimism is that oftentimes, in being optimistic, you carry this hope that things are going to always be better, or that things are going to be right around the corner. And that's not always true, which is why I think that, like, maybe a better approach is to try and be okay no matter what happens to you, which is why I use stoicism for. But yeah, I mean, we are all in this together. I agree. And I think that the best way that you can be of service to others is to be the best version of yourself. And it's, you know, it's ironic is that when Jordan Peterson is talking about, you know, just clean your room, that's what he's saying. Is it's like, if we want the world to be a better place, we want, like, the best place to start is, like, in your room, which is, like, to say, to focus on what you can control and then try to improve your own life. And by making yourself a better person, you make the other people around you better, and, you know, kind of just takes off from there. You don't need to try and boil the ocean with the way that you're changing the world. You can make direct impact in your community. Or if you want to even scale it back more, you can just try to be a better person. And then by osmosis, the world becomes a better place because you're at least you're trying to be better. Not everyone's trying to be better.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying for, I hate to keep saying the incels, but like the incels or whatever, the bottom rung people or whatever. It's like, just be the best that you can be. And that's all you can do. But it's like, you know, I'm acting as if, like, I have, like, the answers, and it's like, I really don't. Like, just today. Yes. And I think it's mainly because, you know, I'm in the middle of getting a new job and all that, but it's like, I get irritated on, and it's mostly probably irritation, but it's like most of the stuff that I'm probably irritated about or maybe depressed about. And I'm also anxious too. So that type of stuff, most of that stuff probably just shouldn't matter. And that's kind of like why I say that, is it's like most of the stuff that I'm worrying about, some stuff does matter, but it's like, it's not really worth, I think my therapist told me that, like, the anxiety that I have is not really helping. And it's like, you may disagree with that. Maybe there are certain things that anxiety help with, but my anxiety wasn't helping the situation. So it's like, once you just learn to, like, not stress out about things, especially the small stuff, I think you can get better. Would you agree with that? Do you think that, like, anxiety overall is a bad thing, or do you think it has some good benefits? Like, maybe it helps you, like, kind of, like, focus on certain things you actually do need to improve.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think that anxiety is really good at telling you or telling yourself what's important. It's like, we only get anxious about stuff that we really care about. And so I think that it can be helpful in that sense. It can be a really good, really powerful compass in pointing you in the direction of the things that you should be paying more attention to, the things that you should care about. But where I think it can be harmful is when we let our imagination kind of run in the opposite direction, and we start focusing on stuff that doesn't matter, or we start imagining realities where things are happening that haven't even happened yet. And so Marcus Aurelius, he's a Stoic philosopher, he says, like, this thing of, like, today I escaped anxiety. And then he writes this in his journal. He says, today I escaped anxiety. No way, I discarded it, which is to say that, like it's great to be as a compass, but, you know, we can also, we just have to know when to intervene in our own thoughts, when I identify which thoughts are helpful and which are not, and then to discard the ones that are not helpful. And it's a lot more easier said than done, of course, but I think that, like, there's a number of tools and a number of practices that you can use to identify unhelpful thoughts and to discard these unhelpful thoughts. And then you could use it, you know, try to use it in a positive way. But, you know, I think a good place to start is to try to identify when it's good, when it's useful, and when it's not useful. And then, you know, what do I do about both of those things? And then, you know, you practice that enough times, you start getting better at it.
Yeah. And one thing that I've noticed too is, like, I went to therapy a while ago, and for one, I would probably say that therapy is the best thing to do, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with that, but so I went to therapy, like, a while ago, and you know, I basically told him my anxieties, and I ended up having, like, OCD is what he said, obsessive compulsive disorder, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You know, but And then he kind of came off very like nothing. He didn't say nothing matters, but anytime I bring something up, he's just like, so what? Who cares? You know, I had this thought today, or I was worried that this was going to happen or that. And he's like, who cares? It doesn't matter. And that was the biggest thing that helped me, is it's like, it doesn't matter. Mostly the stuff that I was worrying about. And it's like, I think the fact that I thought that it mattered and I thought that I needed to deal with it in my head was the thing that kind of got me stuck on the thoughts. And it ended up helping. And that's why when people come to me with problems, I say, you know what? It doesn't matter. In 5 years or in a year, you're going to think back and be like, you know, that doesn't matter. But then also, what about depression? Do you feel like there's a good cause of depression? Like, where do you think depression comes from in terms of an evolutionary sense, if you even buy into the evolutionary psychology practices?
Yeah, I mean, I think that depression mainly stems from a lack of purpose. At least that's the case in its own life. I think there can be chemical imbalances that cause depression, for sure. But I think where it happens to most people is that they gravitate in two directions. One would be like what I would call conformism, which is like they see what is important to other people and then they chase it. So that's like status related. So it could be, you know, money, it could be women, it could be a career that they envy, it could be any of those things. And then the other part would be maybe like totalitarianism, which would be like what others tell you was important, which is like a church can tell you that, a political party can tell you that, it could be your parents telling you that, hey, I was a doctor, so you should be a doctor, but really you want to be a musician, you know? And I think that like depressions can really seep into your life when you start leaning way too much into either of those things, where it's like, what really makes me happy is I love making content for people to help them navigate their anxiety and their depression. I've found in my life that adds a ton of value, and it's allowed me to speak to some amazing people, and I'm good. I'm good just doing that. I don't care if I have 10 downloads on my newest episode. It doesn't matter to me. I loved having these conversations. And if I was consistently being a conformist and chasing money and status and whatever, I wouldn't be happy. And if I had, you know, done exactly what my parents wanted me to do with my life, I also wouldn't be happy. But I think that, you know, the more that you ignore what your inner compass is telling you, then the more unhappy that you might be. And this is just me speaking from my own personal experience. I know that depression is very idiosyncratic, and that, you know, it feels differently when you're in it, and there can be a number of causes, and I can't speak to all of them, but I think that understanding, you know, where your natural inclinations might lie or where other people might be leading you is a good place to start. And then also just like, I had pretty bad depression because I also had pretty bad anxiety. And I think that anxiety is a lot easier to treat on your own. So if you feel like anxiety is contributing to your depression, I would say maybe look into a few different ways that you can start treating that. And it might be therapy, might be stoicism. That's my jam. I like reading philosophy. I know a lot of people don't, which is why I try to condense it and modernize it and make it accessible for people. But I think that all those places are good places to start. And if none of those things work for you, you might even want to try medication. I did it, 25 grams of Zoloft, milligrams of Zoloft. Thank you very much. Helped me a lot. You know, I ended up getting off because I didn't like the side effects, but it could also help you. So, you know, I would say all those things are good places to start. And then, you know, once you start, you know, you never know where it might lead you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on what you said about, and I've thought about that a lot, what people are telling you, your parents, your church, your school, your friends. And I feel like that is a big part of it, is because when you finally just say, you know, I don't care what people are telling me I should do, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's a big part of it. And I think that I kind of actually have a problem with people who are judgmental for that reason. You know what I mean? People who judge homosexuals or trans or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Because it's like, just think about how bad you're making those people feel about their lives because of whatever they're doing. And it's sad. And I think we need to get away from that. But as soon as, like you said, I think the main thing is, I guess, is to to find that like work and life balance. But that's the thing. It's like, you want to be as happy as possible. You want to be as fulfilled as possible, but you still have to make a certain amount of money. Right. So it's like you were saying about the, well, maybe, but like you were saying about the musician, it's like the musician does, he becomes a musician because it's what he likes. He loves it. It doesn't matter about the money, but to a certain extent, you do have to make enough, buy enough money. I mean, enough money to live. Right.
Yeah.
Unless you think that, you know, you can be someone who's like a musician who doesn't even make enough, well, enough money to live, but you know what I mean? Like you are living in your car or something. I don't know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my point is that like you have to find a way to be happy and do what you want and do what fulfills you, but then make enough money to live basically. Right.
Yeah.
Dude, and like, I mean, I know that
you need to be able to afford shelter, food, and
yeah. And I know there might be some people out there who are really like meditative or whatever, who think that you can like live off very little, which you probably can. You can live off very little, right?
Yeah.
Like there's one belief that I actually heard on Joe Rogan from like, I forget his name, but he's like a psychedelic guy. He's like a young guy. And he basically went over like how there's a belief that you can like live, and you probably know about this. There's like a meditative like guru type belief that you can like literally live off nothing.
Yeah,
have you heard about that?
I think the cynics were all about that. There's like a school of philosophy that was all about like rejecting the things that it was basically the opposite of being a conformist. So like rejecting all the essentials, everything but the essentials to live a satisfactory life. Yeah, dude, there's a lot of stuff out there. Also, just so you know, I probably have to head to bed soon. But if you want to close out, if you want to like ask a final question or something to help round us out, I'm more than happy to stick around to answer it and round out the podcast with you.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't know how long you were able to go. But so the last question that I wanted to ask is I was thinking about this before, actually. Like, I'm doing this for fun. I think that you're doing it for fun. But at the same time, I would like to be successful at it. You know what I mean? Like, I would like some money. I would want to do something that's fun and also make some money. So what's your advice to, because I think that what you're doing, you are doing a good job at what you're doing. And what would be your advice to me or anybody out there who wants to succeed in podcasting or music or whatever it is? And I guess even if you're not succeeding, to maybe still be in a good kind of like mental place because of it.
Yeah. Well, I have a few thoughts. So first of all, I wouldn't say that I'm succeeding. I mean, I don't make any money off my podcast at this point. So in fact, it costs me quite a bit of money to keep running. So I wouldn't really know how to advise anyone to do that. But what I would say is that, you know, just creatively, a piece of advice I would have is no 0 days. So like, just, you have to make progress every day, because, you know, compounding interest is a very real thing. And like, as if you put up a zero, like that, you know, that the zero, number one, the zeros are contagious. So like, if you don't do anything today, then the chances of you not doing anything tomorrow are significantly higher. But you know, it's good for your mental health too. Like, to feel like you're making progress towards the thing that you want to be making progress on, you know, it's helpful to work on something every day. So I would say that would probably be like my thing, 0 days. But then also, like, you know, just in regards to like, you know, work-life balance and happiness, like, I think that like the expectation that we're supposed to be happy all the time is not realistic. Like, I promise you, you're gonna have to do some shit in life that you don't like. There's gonna be things that happen to you that you don't want to have happened. You're gonna suffer heartbreak, loss, failure. But you know, you could turn the failure into learning experiences. Every pot has two handles, right? So there's always two ways to look at things. But you know, just in regards to happiness, I think the idea that we can even achieve happiness is like, what does it even mean? You know, I think that a much better thing to aim for would be something along the lines of tranquility or contentment. And, you know, I think there are a few different ways that you can do that. But I think it starts with learning how to manage your own anxiety about these things, you know, and understanding that no one's perfect. But you know, if I can give one, like, so I talked to this guy, Will Scoter, and he was on one of my episodes. He does a lot of research in happiness, and he boiled down happiness to like three main components, which were, and every one of them has an opposite. So there's like tranquility, which is like where I spend all my time. The opposite of that is anxiety. So it's like, there's lots of things that you can do to try and move away from anxiety more into tranquility. And then there's compression and uncompression, which is basically, so uncompression is like the opposite of stress. Compression is this feeling of like being really tight. It's being under stress all the time. And uncompression is hard to recognize and to diagnose in your own life. But it's like one of those things where you go on vacation, you like to travel, you go travel, you're in a beautiful place. And like, you're like, holy shit, I feel amazing. I didn't realize how stressed out I was before this, you know? And so that's a really powerful thing. It's really underrated. I think it's something that people should be paying attention to in their own life, because oftentimes people don't even realize how stressed they are. And then the third one, oh man, am I blanking on the third one? What was the third one? Tranquility, compassion, anxiety, tranquility. I forgot what the third one was, but it was important to definitely, and definitely worth looking up if you get a chance. Maybe I'll remember some other time. But
was it on his? You said it was Will something. Yeah. Was it on your podcast that he said it?
Yeah, Will Scoter. Yeah. I'm really bummed at myself right now that I'm blanking on the third thing, because I felt like I was really building a lot of momentum towards that point. I just kind of dropped the ball on it. But uncompassion, tranquility, and I'll have to come back to the third one. Or you check out the episode.
Problem. Yeah. Well, I was just gonna say, well, first of all, I was gonna say, I'm blanking on what I was gonna say. So I was listening. Oh yeah, first of all, I was gonna say that what you said about doing something every day, I think is good advice. But I think a lot of times when I ask people this question, and I would probably even give this advice, is if you enjoy doing it, just keep doing it. And that is true.
Yeah.
It is true, but it's like people want a payoff. And I think that I agree with you when you say do something every day, because it makes you feel better. And not only that, but it's like you're pushing forward as opposed to just stopping or not going for a week or whatever, or a day. What are some examples really quickly of what you would do on a day-to-day basis for something like a podcast, like just editing or like getting guests or something like that? Is that kind of like what you're talking about on a day-to-day?
Yeah. I mean, you got prospects if you have guests on. So like I have a spreadsheet. So like, you know, just trying to make sure that I'm staying on top of that, adding new people to it, sending out new invitations. And then it's like, they take a while to produce, you know, like I edit all of mine. So it's like, if I'm not prospecting, finding new guests, you know, I'm editing like one that I've already done. And then what's cool is like, dude, like if you do video podcasts, like, you know, you have tons of material to make clips. So like, if you go on my YouTube channel, I'm trying to get better at it. I need to put more clips up, but there's tons of clips on there that are just like, I know that, you know, not everybody's going to be in a situation where they can sit down and watch an hour long conversation, but you know, maybe there's like a 2-minute part that I think would be really valuable to someone. You know, you could always cut up clips and throw them on YouTube. You make TikToks if you're trying to get more of a following. You can make Instagram reels if you're trying to get more of a following. Like there's always stuff that you can be doing. But I think another thing that's really underrated is just like reading books. Like you want to be able to bring some stuff to the conversation too, instead of just being like a well-rounded person who spends time learning, I think is really underrated. So you know, there's lots of stuff you can do.
Yeah, for sure. And then real quick, I was going to say that Sam Harris, I was listening to him on somebody's podcast, and he was saying how like nobody wants to be like the guy who gets made fun of or whatever, but it's like there is people who have literally made careers being that guy, being like the, I don't really want to use the word incel again, but like being the bottom end of the totem pole. Yeah. Like Kramer from Seinfeld or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like there's nothing wrong. Like, even at the beginning, honestly, at the beginning of this podcast, I was like, for whatever reason, I got like a little nervous for the first couple of minutes. It's like, you know, what are we going to talk about? Blah, blah, blah. But then it's like, you know, like a lot of that is just endearing or whatever. And it's just human. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like people just, a lot of like stumbling over your words or whatever. And that's my whole point when I'm like, you know what? Like, just, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're at the bottom of the total pole or the top. Just be the best that you can be. And I really do believe that. But then lastly, I will ask you really quick. I listened to the John Gurley one. I listened to a guy who talked about AI. He was like an older guy.
Kevin Kelly. Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah, him. And then I listened to a YouTuber who may have been the Will guy that you mentioned. I think he was like a YouTuber on happiness or something.
Yeah, it's Will.
Yeah. Okay, that's him. So lastly, to plug your podcast, and then also I like to get other podcasts out there too, because I always listen to podcasts. So if there's any other podcasts, movies or TV shows that you like, and then we can end it.
Yeah, sure. So my podcast is called Don't Panic, We're All Going to Die. You find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. But if you want to look up me, my username on everything is here is Johnny Nava. So feel free to look me up. Send me a note, say what's up. Always happy to talk to people. And then just podcasts I listen to. I like the Daily Stoic because I like Stoicism. And Ryan Holiday is a really, really good writer, and he's well informed with that stuff. I like Tim Ferriss's podcast because I think if you're somebody who wants to make content, he's very good at asking good questions. And he's also somebody with an immensely curious brain. And so just like, I think he's definitely one of my cyber mentors. Will Schroeder, got to give him a shout out. He was on my podcast. He does a YouTube series on happiness that is amazing. And he also has a lot of, he's got a good following on YouTube. His videos have millions of views because they're really good. And it's all evergreen content. So he makes the videos that I think cover really important subject matter. And so I would 100% check him out if you get a chance. And then movies that you asked me, I think Everything All Everywhere All at Once, probably my favorite movie from last year. Just like start to finish. It's really polarizing. Either you love it or you hate it, but I'm like firmly in the love it camp. I think it like really speaks to a lot of the existential angst that the past couple of generations have been feeling. And, it's honestly, it all ties back to this conversation. It's all about finding meaning in life, despite whatever circumstances you might find yourself in. So it's something I would highly recommend going into with an open mind if you get a chance.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, that's definitely one that I wanted to check out and didn't think I would like it. I am into A24. I'm pretty sure it is A24 movie, right?
Yeah, it is.
So I'll probably go ahead and check that out. And then lastly, you mentioned that you have a band, music that you play at coffee shops. What is the name of your band? I want to check it out. I will check it out.
Yeah. So we actually don't have anything. We don't have anything like streaming or anything. Like we're not really online at all. I've been playing guitar for like 15 years. So it's just something that I found to be like, it's really nice thing in my life that I don't necessarily feel like I need to monetize. But yeah, I found this girl who's like a really good singer, and I like writing songs, and so does she. So like we like played at like one show because somebody heard that we were in a band, and then like somebody else was at the show and was like, hey, you guys are really good, you should come play at my thing. And then it was like it kind of snowballed from there. Now we just kind of play shows whenever we get asked to play shows. But yeah, it's called Frankie J. So, you know, maybe in a year from now, we'll have some music online. I'm the J and Frankie J. Francis is the other half of the band. It's just like, we're just like a two-man group. We both play guitar. It's just like a fun thing to do.
And you guys both sing?
Yeah. I like sing mostly like background, and I'll take a verse every now and then, but she's got like a way better voice than me. So I push on my career direction.
Sweet, man. Well, maybe I can check you. You guys play in the LA.
Yeah, area. You're in the area. Yeah. You're pretty close by, right?
Yeah, I'm east of you guys, but I'll have to check that out. Let me know when you play. But yeah, thanks for coming on, Johnny. It was great talking to you, and I look forward to listening to more of your podcasts. And if you ever want to come back on to talk more about philosophy, let me know, because I know I cut that part off at the beginning because I wanted to make sure we got to everything else.
No, it's all good, man. I appreciate you having me. I'm happy to come back some other time, but wish you the best of luck and everything until we meet again. And thanks for having me on the podcast, man.
You too. It was very good having you on.
Bye. Bye, Micah. Take care.